The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I have the privilege of continuing my Miracle Monday conversation with Che An. That's A-H-N. That's a Korean name, isn't it, Che?
Yeah, you're one of the first to really pronounce it correctly, by the way.
What do people say?
They call me Che. They call me An. You know, whatever.
Che
yeah,
An.
Which
now,
is fine,
che,
whatever.
By the way, doesn't strike me as particularly Korean. Is that Korean?
It is Korean, but my whole name is Che Ho.
Aha.
But when I came to this country, they thought it was my middle name, and so it was just dropped, and so all my papers, my citizenship is primarily Che An. And so
Che Ho. Does anybody call you Che Ho?
My mom did.
She did?
Yeah. Especially when she was mad at
That's
me.
That's the classic
yeah,
thing, right? All right. So we're talking about this moment in your life that God has supernaturally called you to go all the way across the country with your wife. You have three kids. Then you get four kids. And you're telling me that even though you knew God spoke to you to do this miraculously, it was a struggle. So you're saying from 1982 to 1992, you're struggling.
Well, we didn't move out until 84 because it just took time to make the transition. And by the way, it wasn't just me. I invited Lou Engel, his wife, and a few singles and others to come. And so we had around 15, 18 people that were part of the church planting team. And, it was a struggle. 84, I remember after 1 year not seeing anything happen, I'd be on the floor just prostrated, weeping before God. And I would say, where's the God of revival? He said, come to L.A. for a great harvest. We're not seeing a harvest. But you see, I believe those 10 years, you know, and I would joke the 80s were from Hades because they were the 10 worst years. But they were the best years because God was developing character. He was breaking me. You got to realize I was 28 years old. I was so cocky. And I thought, you know, because everything came easy before ministry wise. And just like Joseph, even though he got this incredible vision dream that his family is going to, honor him as a ruler. Yet he had to go through the whole Potiphar situation, the prison experience. And so I went through my wilderness experience, but there were great years because I had the privilege to go to Fuller. And because I had nothing else to do. So 4 years at Fuller, getting my master's and my doctorate, another 4 years. And I had the privilege to meet Peter Wagner and get mentored by him. And so it was all part of the preparation. So I really believe when it comes to making of a leader, there's that preparation time before you come into convergence. And it's the character development time to be like Jesus. And so so that's why Paul says, I exalt in my tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, character, and character hope. And hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit.
Well, you talk about that. I can relate to that because I had many years of character building, and I always joke around. I say, "Don't you hate that?"
Yeah.
But it's true. I mean, I don't want to talk about me right now, but just to say that I know that this happens, and it was years of humbling, real
right.
humbling, brokenness, difficulty, struggle. Never doubted God,
right?
But often was thinking, "Wow, you know, this is not fun. This
no,
is not
yeah.
fun."
Yeah, it's and it's just something that I think every believer has to go through. And, of course, we never graduate. And so we're being constantly conformed into the image of His
Hallelujah.
Son.
Hallelujah. That's the name of the game. Okay, so at what point did things begin to turn around for you?
Well, it began in 92 when I quit I resigned from the church, not because I didn't love the church, but because, unfortunately, the movement I was part of, the church planting movement, got caught up in what I would call the discipleship shepherding movement.
I know about that.
Okay.
Was that like Derek Prince?
Yeah, well, I don't want to mention names, but yeah, there are.
Well, let's just give the initials.
Yeah, right.
Derek Prince. Okay.
Yes, but they were called the teachers, and they were like these amazing teachers. They were great. And by the way, many of them did repent for the wrong teaching, because they were talking about authority, and we needed spiritual authority because we're all hippies, rebellious, and all that. But they took it to an extreme, and so
it became almost cult-like.
It almost did,
right?
And so, yeah, just controlling, and so here I'm observing this in California as I'm going to Fuller, and I'm seeing my whole movement get into this whole other movement, and so I want to leave. And. And so Sue, my wife, gets the word we're to resign and give the church back because they really planted the church. And so we did in 92. I didn't know the backlash I was going to get from our pastors, our leaders. They thought I was betraying them, even though I wasn't taking the church. I was not splitting the church. I wasn't trying to, you know, move the church out of the movement. I just basically was going to itinerate as an evangelist.
I've never heard that verb. I was going to itinerate. You were going to go out on your own, I think is what you
mean. Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Do your own thing, man.
Do my own thing, and yeah. Not very successfully. And so 93 was the worst year because economically, you know, I have four kids now in Southern California, a mortgage, and no salary. And so we had to refinance our house just to survive. But then in 1994, something happened extraordinarily in Toronto. The Toronto outpouring of January 20th, 1994. And at the same time, a lot of people don't know this, but the Holy Spirit fell in Los Angeles with John Wimber. The same spirit of revival that was in Toronto manifested in the Anaheim Vineyard. And we got hit by the power of the Holy Spirit. I felt, Eric, I was born again.
I mean, people, I know there are many people listening, they have no idea what we're talking about. This is hard to explain. I had Randy Clark on this program a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I saw it.
And he was talking about this. And I didn't even know that he'd been affiliated with the Toronto Blessing, as it's called.
He was a starter.
Well, I know. I didn't know that. And
yeah.
It's hard. A lot of people get really freaked out by this. They say, this cannot be God. I don't trust. And a lot of people that I respect a lot, I disagree with them, but they would say that I just don't believe the Holy Spirit would have people acting out in this way and that way. And they make a lot of sense. I just think ultimately they're missing something.
Yeah.
But so you, where were you physically? Were you still in the L.A. area?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I was in L.A. And where I got touched was the annual Anaheim Vineyard Healing Conference they have every January.
So this is Wimber.
This is John Wimber. Yeah. He was hosting it, and Francis McNutt was one of the speakers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just great, great speakers. And he begins the conference on a Wednesday night by making the announcement. This is around January 25th. He said, we just got word that one of our churches in Toronto, there's been an unusual visitation of the Holy Spirit. And so he said, the same thing happened to our people this past Sunday. We were sending out all these young people to New Zealand on a short-term winter trip. And as we prayed for them, they fell down laughing. And they could not stop for over an hour. He said, this is not normal, people. This is not normal for our church. So we know something is up. And so what he was saying was, fasten your seatbelt because God's on the move. There's another visitation. And of course, John Wimber was the one who brought the third wave. It was Come Holy Spirit with him. And he was one of my professors at Fuller because I took his course, Signs and Wonders in Church Growth. And amazing miracles were being done through the Vineyard Movement. And of course, Jesus is a healer. But they were being used powerfully in Southern California. And so so here I get powerfully touched. I mean, I have never shook, even though I've been born again since 1973, but I got prayed over by Mahesh Chavda, who's a dear friend now, and I shook violently for like 20 minutes.
You see, this is the kind of thing that I think freaks out some people.
Sure.
And I was, when I was at the Global Awakening here in New York, I saw some people, you know, quote unquote, manifesting in this way. One thing you can say for sure, it's not the person. It's something going on. So
yeah.
Then the question, the logical question becomes, is this demonic or is this God? And that's the only question to try to figure out, because anybody who says like, oh, it's made up, whatever, it is not made up.
No, it's not.
It's something
spiritual.
You
don't want to do that.
Now, I'm convinced that it is God.
It could be demonic.
But it could be demonic.
Right,
and this
exactly.
is where you need wisdom. You need people that are really steeped in the scriptures and have walked with God and have discernment. We're going to go to a break, but I'm just so glad we came to this spot. We're going to continue the conversation as long as you can hang out. Che Ho An is with us. Che An is with us in the studio.
Sound like my
I'm
mom.
So excited. This is a miracle Monday. I'm just so thrilled to have you. We'll continue the conversation, folks. You do not want to go away. reason I tell you, with all the problems we have, there are people genuinely enslaved in places like South Sudan. They need our money. So I'm asking you, go to MetaxasTalk.com, click on the banner, give what you can. Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm sitting here with Che On. I keep forgetting to mention he has a brand new book out called Modern Day Apostles. Modern Day Apostles by Che On, A-H-N. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I want to continue this conversation at where we are right now. So you're telling me that stuff starts to happen. And you,
yes,
you personally, even though you've been a Christian for like two decades.
Since 1973. And so two things happened. I never did this in my life. I never shook before like I shook that night. And I never laughed uncontrollably for like 10, 15 minutes, even though I didn't want to laugh. I put my hand over my mouth and I didn't want to, because I just told Lou, he was sitting next to me, because everyone was laughing. And he says, man, the spirit of joy is coming upon all these people. And I said, well, I'm not going to laugh. And so, you know, I just said that right before the spirit of God hit me and I started to laugh uncontrollably. But, you know, this is nothing new. I mean, if you read Wesley's journal, you see how people broke out in laughter, how people fell, how people shook.
Even John Wesley. Now, we're talking the middle of the 18th century.
Right.
Revival,
the Great Awakening
breaks out. And we have records of similar things happening under Jonathan Edwards, before Wesley.
Whitfield. I mean, Whitfield.
And George Whitfield. And, the thing is, we forget. Like, we think of them because they're wearing, you know, wigs and black gowns, and it's another universe. It's 2.5 centuries ago. We forget that the Holy Spirit is the same.
Right.
And you're telling me that we have records of this same thing happening in those revivals.
Well, absolutely. Like, for example, Dr. Kidd from Baylor University, when he writes about Whitfield, Whitfield's preaching and he says, it's appointed for a man to die once and then comes the judgment. He's quoting from Hebrews chapter 9. And a man who was a black free man who came to mock his service. In fact, he was going to blow a trumpet and disrupt the service. The moment he hears that, he falls down slain and he's stuck on the floor and he can't move. And so after Whitfield preaches, he's on the floor the whole time. Whitfield comes up to him and says, it's appointed for a man to die once and comes to judgment. Are you ready to give your life to Jesus Christ? And he repents and gives his heart to Jesus Christ. So we see this phenomenon.
So that's the 1740s, probably.
Right, exactly, exactly. And of course, you know,
all this stuff happened over and over and over again.
This is by a renowned professor from Baylor.
We just had Thomas Kidd sitting where you're sitting about 3 weeks ago talking about George Whitfield. Whitfield's one of my heroes, and I write about him in my book, If You Can Keep It. I mean, we need to know this amazing history.
Right.
But you're telling me that under Whitfield and under the Wesleys.
And John didn't Jonathan understand Edwards. It. He didn't understand people laughing. In fact, John Wesley's famous quote is, give me revival without the mess. But if I have to have revival with the mess, then give me revival.
So suddenly, you know, 200 plus years later, you find yourself experiencing some of this weird stuff. But you have a sense that this is really God. You can feel.
Well, yeah, because I'm in the presence of God. We're in a meeting. This is not like some kind of evangelism crusade where demons might manifest. But this is a Christian conference, and I'm a pastor. And all of a sudden, the power of God. I feel I received an impartation. Because 2 weeks later, I'm doing a youth conference because I was not well known, because I'm itinerating now. This is my living, right, before I started our church. And a young girl, maybe around 13 years old, comes up to me and she said, I'm blind in my right eye. Will you pray for me? I said, what happened? She said, I was at a carnival and a metal object flew out of the air, hit me in the pupil of my eye. I've had 3 eye surgeries and I'm totally blind. Now, when she said that, my heart went out to her, but I have never seen a blind person get healed at that time. And I had no faith for her. But what are you supposed to do? She asked for prayer. So I put my hand over her eye, pray some kind of wimpy prayer. And when I took my hand off of her eye, she starts to scream. She said, I could see. And my response is, are you kidding me? Really? And she said, yes, it just opened up. I can see your face. And so I said, oh, my goodness, did I receive an impartation 2 weeks before?
Okay, that's now, why. Impartation is one of these words.
Yeah.
A lot of people thinking, what the heck is that?
Yeah.
You mean that when you had this experience a few weeks earlier where you're knocked down, you're laughing like crazy, the Spirit of God is touching you in a powerful way, when that happened, God gave you something
right
in that experience, and what he gave you in part was this gift of healing.
Right. And I believe it was imparted to me and it manifested. So that was, now I'm not certain, but I was putting the pieces together. And
kinda, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
if
it makes
never
sense
happened
for
to
me
before, right? And suddenly
exactly,
it's
exactly,
right? Exactly. Wow. I just, so what year are we talking about here? 94?
This is 94, going into 95. And then we started our church in 1994, and it's been just amazing. We started a network of churches in 96, and we started to plant churches around the world. And then we did the call 2000. We did stadium events. The smallest gathering, we had 35,000. We had a 500,000 in Washington, D.C. And it's just been amazing. You know, and we give God all the glory. We just jumped in the river of God. I mean, it's a spiritual metaphor of Ezekiel chapter 47, river from Jerusalem to the Dead Sea. And so we just jumped in the river, and the river has carried us. And so it's just been so much fun following the Holy Spirit and just doing what we see the Father do, and just walking in obedience. And I feel, Eric, you know, I've been walking with the Lord 46 years, and I can honestly say this, by God's grace, I feel I'm in more in love with Jesus today than I did when I first got saved. I feel more closer to him. And I feel that's the way it should be for the Christian life, because the path of the righteous, like the light of dawn, it shines brighter and brighter until the full day.
That is so beautiful. I mean, I just have to say, you know, as I listen to you, it's so interesting, because you're saying that you were faithful, you were obedient, you never doubted God, but you went through a lot of hard times. And then suddenly this thing happens, and it's clear that God's timing is God's timing. I mean, we don't know why he chose to suddenly do this at that time, but he
right.
chose to do it. And the next thing you know, you yourself are, quote unquote, moving in these gifts of the Spirit, praying for people, whatever, and you take off on this wild ride, which, you know, you would have been happy to do 10 years earlier, but for some reason, God...
I didn't have the character for it, though. I really believe that.
Yeah.
And I feel like I had to go through the 10 years of wilderness, so to speak. Again, even the wilderness is very glorious, because God is so good, and I felt his presence. I never sensed he left me, and
right.
we felt the blessing of God. We weren't making a lot of money, but there was always food on the table, you know. And I remember one time, because I was unemployed for 2 years, someone had brought a box of groceries at our door, and when I opened it up, we just started to weep, Sue and I, because, you know, we said, God, you're so good. You continue to meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory and in Christ Jesus. And of course, we've learned how to abound as well.
Well, I have to say, you know, I want to talk to you more about your new book, Modern Day Apostles. But, you know, just to hear you talk about these things, that it is interesting, again, that God, he knows what he's going to do. And if we walk with him and we're obedient, he does these things. This
yes.
is, he doesn't forget about us. But the idea that suddenly this happens to you, and then you're praying for people, and you're seeing them healed, and this kind of stuff. Again, there are a lot of people probably listening now that think, that's such nonsense. I can't really imagine that's happening. It's an hallucination. But I know so many people that have experienced these things. Today is Monday. This weekend, I'm going to be with our friend Ken Fish ministering in a church in Athens, Greece.
Awesome.
Which is a dream for me, to minister in Greece. Now, I've never prayed for anybody and seen them healed or anything, but Ken has, and I'm going to be there. And I get so excited, because I know, Che, that when people see these things, many of them have instant faith. And wherever they were before, they know God is real. He's calling me to a deeper walk with him. Because sometimes
right.
people have a kind of a attenuated faith. They're hanging back, or there's some wounding or something, and they haven't let go and let God. But I know that's one of the reasons that God does these things, that there's no doubt about that.
Well, he's going to use you powerfully. I really believe that. I believe that God's going to, you know, the Bible says these signs will follow those who believe. If you're a believer, it doesn't say these signs will follow only the apostles or the healing evangelists, but believers, they shall lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. There are many times I pray for the sick and nothing happens.
Right.
But I remember praying for one of our church members who had cut off his finger in a garden accident. His daughter his name is Lewis, they were trimming the hedges, and she cut off his finger by accident. And so he grabbed the finger, went to Huntington Hospital, hoping that he could salvage it. And they said, no, we're going to stitch you up. But he lost his finger at the second knuckle. So Lewis comes to me on Sunday right after the service. We pray for the sick, by the way, every Sunday. So those who would like prayer come up. We have a ministry team that's trained how to pray. But I'm there praying for the sick as well. So I said, Lewis, what happened to you? He said, my finger got cut off. And but Pastor, I believe God wants to grow my finger out. Now, when he said that, to be honest with you, I didn't have time to analyze that. He said, I believe God wants to grow my finger out. And all I could say just in response, well, if you believe that God wants to grow your finger out, I'm going to stand with you, Lewis, and pray for your finger to grow out. Right. So I prayed for him and totally forgot about it. 2 months later, he's in line again for prayer. But he has his hand behind his back this time.
All right, this is the ultimate cliffhanger. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go away. I can't wait to hear the rest of this story. Stick around. Are you concerned about memory loss for yourself or a loved one? Susan Gibson's mother had dementia. Susan prayed God would show her the solution to memory loss. And after many divine encounters combining faith and her background as a pharmacist, Susan founded Vivalore and created Glory Day Brain Booster. Glory Day is a premium quality, all-natural supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplement. It won the award for most innovative healthcare regimen in 2020. Visit Vivalore.com for testimonials about the life-changing improvements people have experienced. Glory Day is for those with normal memory, mild or severe memory loss. Don't wait until your memory slips. The pathology that leads to memory loss starts 20 years before your first memory loss symptom. Vivalore is V-I-V-O-L-O-R. At Vivalore.com, enter promo code 20 for 20% off. The makers pray that God's glory rests on every pill. Vivalore.com, V-I-V-O-L-O-R.com. Folks, I got some embarrassing news to share with you, but you know what? This is just the kind of a show where I don't care. I'm willing to lay my heart, you know, on the line. Here's the issue. Mike Lindell with MyPillow, you may notice that I have a bobblehead of him near me. He's here to remind all of us that when you go to MyPillow.com, you get whopping discounts if you use the code Eric, okay? Now, there are a lot of people who haven't done that, and we have your names here. And Chris Himes and Albin pointed out to me that there's like 3 pages of you whose first name is Eric. You yourself, I mean, that's humiliating for me that even though your name is Eric, you're still not willing to use the code Eric. I mean, if you don't want to use it because it's my name, use it because it's your name. But the point is that I see who you are. And I just feel humiliated by this. Please go to MyPillow.com. It's okay, Mike. It's going to be okay. Go to MyPillow.com. Use the code Eric. You're going to get whopping savings and really high quality products. Did I mention that? Thank you.
And I really have enjoyed my stay, but I must be moving on. Like a king without a castle.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. When you last tuned in, we were hearing about a crazy story about a man whose finger was cut off. And Dr. Che An is here in the studio. You got to tell us the rest of the story. So he shows up at church, right, and he says to you, he has faith that his finger is going to be healed.
Right. When he first came to me, he said, Pastor, I believe that God wants to heal my finger and grow my finger out.
Now, if you don't mind my asking, how much of the finger was cut off?
It was cut off just in the first knuckle. So we're talking about like an inch off.
More than an inch.
Yeah, okay. More than an inch. Okay,
I'm horrified. Please continue.
And so 2 months later, he's...
That, by the way, that's the second knuckle.
Yeah, second knuckle.
That's the
right.
Big knuckle.
Right, the big knuckle.
Yeah,
right,
okay.
Exactly there. And so... he stood in line to receive prayer like we do every Sunday after the service. But he had his hand behind his back, and I totally have forgotten because it's been 2 months. And to be honest with you, I didn't think it was going to grow out.
Wait a minute. What had been 2 months?
Well, when he cut off his finger. So he prayed for him the first time. He said, Pastor, I believe that God wants to grow out my finger.
Right.
And I said, just more as a pastoral just sensitivity, I said, if you believe God wants to grow your finger out, I'm going to stand with you, Lewis, that your finger will grow out.
Okay, so you pray for him.
I prayed. I just said, I command their finger to grow out in Jesus' name, but I didn't really believe it was going to happen.
Because fingers don't grow out, folks, let's face it. Okay, so he goes away for 2 months. 2 months later, he comes back.
Well, he was there at church, but here's what happened. He comes up to me and he said, Pastor, remember when you prayed for my finger 2 months ago? And I said, yeah, whatever happened? He said, it started to grow out, but it started to grow out very, very slowly. And so I decided to wait until it fully grew out before I showed you. And he said, look, and he had a brand new finger, including a brand new fingernail. And so I am freaking out. And I said, wow. And again, it wasn't my faith. I think it was his faith, but it was God who gave him the grace and mercy. But here's a greater miracle.
Yeah.
His daughter, Amber, was not saved when she cut off his finger. She was under so much condemnation, just thinking.
Okay, so she's not a Christian.
She's not a Christian. She was a teenager.
She mistakenly cuts her father's finger off.
Right. But when she saw
guilty,
shame, condemned. But when she saw the finger grow out, she became a follower of Jesus. And that's a greater miracle. And so that's how God will move to reach
now,
a teenager, a 16-year-old teenager.
I have to ask you, Che, because this is how my brain works, right? Doctors, I assume, would say that fingers that are cut off at the big knuckle do not grow back. Like, that doesn't happen.
Right.
So did he take this to a doctor and show a doctor? Because it seems to me if you don't do that, you're crazy.
Well,
like, is kind of, you know.
Right. Well, he did go to the doctor first initially to sew his finger back on, but the doctor said that's not going to happen.
Right.
We're just going to sew you up and you're going to have a stump for the rest of your life. But here's the thing. I don't know about what happened afterwards if he showed it to the doctor, but I have seen so many people get healed. And when they go back to the doctor's two responses, either they believe or they're absolutely incredulous. And they say, well, we misdiagnosed.
Yeah.
And we had a woman with acute leukemia get healed, and the doctor wanted to put her on treatment immediately. And she said, I'd need to have my pastors pray for me on Sunday. She went to the doctor Friday. She said, I'll come and see you on Monday. And the doctor was upset because he wanted to admit her immediately on Friday when they did the blood test and found out she had leukemia. And by the way, she was vice president of World Vision. And so we're talking about a well-respected woman, a very intelligent, just brilliant woman who her background is marketing. But anyway, she goes to the doctor. She goes to Yorba Linda Hospital, and they take test after test on Monday. They cannot find any trace of leukemia, which is cancer of the blood. And they said, we must have misdiagnosed you. And that's their answer, because it just doesn't have – they don't have the paradigm for it. But if God created the universe, how could he not create a finger to grow out?
It seems logical. But, you know, I guess whoever it was who had his finger healed – I feel like he has a responsibility to go back to these doctors with the X-ray, whatever it is, just for the sake of the doctor to say, I'd like you to see something. Because that's – you understand, this is crazy stuff. You know that.
Right.
A finger to grow back. That does not happen. I've seen a lot of people with stumps that stuff doesn't grow back.
Exactly.
That is nuts.
Well,
I love it.
The thing that encourages me is that we have a lot of people who are amputees coming from – the Middle East, Iraq, Afghanistan, vets. And if God could grow a finger, why not grow a back, an arm, or a leg? And so that's what I'm believing God for, that we're going to see greater miracles in the years ahead.
Oh, man. Oh, I love it. I want to talk about your new book, Modern Day Apostles, Operating in Your Apostolic Office and Anointing. Well, now, what do you mean by that? You know, when people say things like your apostolic office, a lot of people listening, they don't know what that means.
Well, you know, the word apostle appears 82 times in the New Testament. And so the word apostle, apostles, plural, 82 times, which is interesting because the word pastor, and by the way, we built our whole church government on the word pastor, that appears only one time in Ephesians 4:11. That he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists,
and
pastors.
Do you know what the Greek is for these? Because I'm Greek, but I don't know these terms.
Yeah, it's poimen. It's poimen for pastor. Now, there's synonyms like episcopos, which is the word bishop.
Episcopos.
Or presbyter. Overseer. Or presbyteros, which is the Greek word for elders.
Right.
But even if you add those synonyms up, it's only 67 times.
Right.
So whatever happened to the apostolic ministry? And so part of the confusion is that there are 12 apostles, and they're called the apostles of the Lamb, and they will have a distinct place in the kingdom to come. So no one's going to replace them.
Okay, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we are talking to Che on AHN. The book is Modern Day Apostles. Don't go away. Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. There's something you all need to know about Relief Factor and about Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son owners. As you know, they're on a real mission to help as many people as possible get out of pain, and they've been a consistent sponsor of the show for several years. In radio, sponsors come and go. They may even stay for a year or so. It sounds like they're doing super, and then they're gone. Well, not so with Relief Factor. Pete and Seth are consistent year after year, and that's because tens of thousands of people are now taking Relief Factor every day for their back and neck pain. I'm one of them. Shoulder pain, knee pain, hip pain. And they are now in less or no pain at all. All these people, it's as simple as that. It works. That's why I've joined Pete and Seth on their mission to help you get out of pain today. And the first step is to order the 3-week quick start pack for $19.95. If you're still skeptical, remember, it's not just me. There are tens of thousands of other nice people who would happily tell you to give it a try. It can be done. It could be at your door in just 2 to 3 days. Go to relieffactor.com. Remember, relieffactor.com. It works. It works.
Got out of town on a boat going to Southern Islands, sailing to reach before a following sea. She was making for the trades on the outside.
Hey folks, it's Eric Metaxas Show. Boy, do I get the best guests. You get N.T. Wright, Randy Clark, Oz Guinness, Che on. It's just wonderful to have such a panoply of leaders in faith to talk to about all these things. Now, your book, we were just talking about, it's called Modern Day Apostles, and you're explaining this idea of what it is to be an apostle. So you said there are 12. We always think of the 12 apostles.
And they are to be honored, and there will be no replacement for those apostles.
Right.
But we see in Scripture all these other people called apostles, like the Apostle Paul, who were not part of the original 12. Of course, James, the brother of Jesus, becomes the presiding apostle by Acts 15 in Jerusalem. And the list goes on. I mean, obscure apostles like Andronicus and Junia in Romans chapter 16. So I believe Ephesians 4:11 is the key passage. When he ascended, he gave some to be apostles, not everyone, some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, pastors, teachers, etc., until we come to the unity of faith, until the full measure of the stature of Christ to a mature man. Now, we're not there yet. Until we come to that kind of maturity and unity, we will always need apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But unfortunately, we've highlighted primarily the pastoral ministry, maybe the evangelists like Billy Graham, but you don't talk about prophets and apostles. So in my book, I share from church history how that came about through the Reformation, but also through the whole cessationist movement of B.B. Warfield and Princeton University. And a lot of people who don't believe that gifts are for today also don't believe that apostles and prophets, but we see it's a ministry, it's a function that is still biblical for today.
It's so interesting to me how they're, you know, when we talk about these so-called cessationists, it seems to me a little bit, their doctrine strikes me as a little bit contrived, and it doesn't meet, you know, Occam's razor. It sort of looks like they've worked hard to get there, but that common sense would say, no, we still have healing today. We have many examples of healing today. We have many examples of all these kinds of things. And just because we have the canon of Scripture, the sacred Scripture, to make a doctrine that says once that happened, all these things go away, it always has struck me as far-fetched, not just wrong, but that it seems far-fetched. And I understand their arguments, and they make many good arguments, but so many of us have observed these yeah. things with our own eyes.
But here Jesus himself calls them apostolos, the Greek word sent out one. I mean, think about it. He could have used the term prophet, and they would have understood that language because Israel had a history of prophets. So when he comes down from the mountain in Luke 6, verse 12, and then verse 13, he selects 12 and calls them apostles. Actually, that was an offensive title, because the Romans used the word apostles. Rome, as you know, as they conquered, they wanted to make sure that the Roman law was obeyed, Roman culture was upheld, and the one to enforce that was an apostle sent out by Caesar to enforce Roman culture. And he was either a military person, a general or an admiral or a governor like Pontius Pilate. So what Jesus is saying, I also have a kingdom and I also have a kingdom culture. And I want you to bring about not only my word, but bring about heaven to earth. And that's why I'm calling you apostles. And so it's a very strategic, initially offensive word because, you know, they didn't want to be associated with Rome. They hated the Romans. But Jesus used a secular terminology just like he did with the word church. Ecclesia is a secular term. It goes all the way back to Athens when they had a legislative body to determine laws for their nation. And so God says, you're my ecclesia, but also he calls some to be apostles. And I believe apostles, we're not talking about a title. It's not like a business card. I've never been called Apostle Jay or anything like that, yeah. But it's a function. And it's part of your identity. If God has called you, if you're a child of God, we're all kings and priests. But if God's called you to be a pastor, that's part of your identity. If he's called you to be a prophet, that's your part of your identity. And if he's called you to be an apostle, that's your identity as well. And the reason why that's so important is because your identity determines your destiny. Once you realize what your calling is, it helps you with your job description and how to steward that calling and fulfill your destiny in God.
And so what does it mean to have an apostolic office or an apostolic calling on your life? What does that look like?
Well, first of all, I share my book, 30 Characteristics of an Apostle, uh-huh. So there are a lot.
Okay.
Of course, I talk about, you know, Christ-like character, you're a servant leader, but essentially, you're to bring heaven's culture to earth, bring transformation. So where there's injustice, we're to bring about justice. So that's why the kingdom of God's not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that word righteousness doesn't just mean imputed righteousness or positional righteousness. It means justice. We're to bring justice because heaven on earth is just. And so that's why I believe, and if I could be bold, I believe you may be a marketplace apostle. And the reason why I say that, because I see you changing culture. Because you're not just winning souls. You really want to see transformation of society to reflect heaven. And that's what apostles do. They're wired to do that. And so it's not just, planting churches, which has been the traditional understanding of apostles,
right.
But it's really leading other leaders to bring about the transformation or what we call the discipling of a nation.
That's so fascinating. I mean, it's important that we understand what the Bible says. And I'm always fascinated with folks like you because you're teaching us things that we really haven't heard. And you kind of wonder why. Why
yeah.
can we go through the centuries without people? Who in the past, going back over the past centuries, would you say have an apostolic calling particularly?
Oh, you see it everywhere. For example, John Wesley was an incredible apostle. Yes, he was an evangelist, yes. But, you know, Whitfield was the evangelist, like in the genre of Billy Graham. Of course, he was like the first Billy Graham, thousands, 30,000 at a time.
Right.
But Wesley planted these what we call class meetings that ended up becoming the United Methodist Church and became at one time the largest denomination in the world.
Yeah.
A Protestant, I should say. And so we see how to this day, the United Methodist Church, not in America, but in Africa, is just full of life. And they're the ones who are speaking out against same-sex marriage or gay priests being ordained. United States wants to do it, but thank God for the revival in Africa.
Right, it's all those homophobic Africans.
Yeah, right.
we're going to be right back. It's just wonderful. For a final segment, folks, don't go away. Che An is here. The book is Modern Day Apostles.
Thank you.
the Taxes Show. I'm talking to Che Ahn. If you want to find him on the web, you can go to cheahn.org. It's C-H-E-A-H-N.org. Che, we've just got a few minutes left. What else can you tell us about modern-day apostles?
Well, there are a lot of apostles today doing amazing things. Like, for example, when we think about the underground house church movement, estimated around 100 million believers now. I mean, think about it, Eric. In 1948, when communists took over, 1 million evangelicals, and they thought that was the end of Christianity. But the church exploded, and there are only primarily five major underground house church movements, and they're all led by what they call an uncle. They can't use Christian terminology like a pastor or apostle because they would be in trouble. It's the underground church, so they call each other brother, sister, etc. But apostles are called uncles, and there are five uncles. And so we see, like, one man, I won't give you his name just for security reasons, but he's relatively a new convert, got saved in 1987. He was a farmer in the city of Vanway, I could at least say that. 10 million. Revival breaks out. Out of 10 million, 5 million come to know Jesus Christ. Not all through him, but it's just an amazing move of the Holy Spirit. 2.5 million of them are his people. And he has now planted churches in every single city in China that's over 10 million people.
Now, what do the communist dictators do about this?
No, he's been in prison seven times. And as a result...
Hey. LeBron James, did you hear that? Okay, that's just my parenthetical. I mean, seriously,
yeah.
He's been in prison seven times.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A man of God.
Right, exactly.
Thrown, and these prisons are not nice prisons.
No, he spoke at our conference. We have this annual conference called Global Summit, and the numbers just boggled me. I just could hardly believe, and he's so humble. He's not trying to boast about how many churches, but he's also planting churches and their businesses, actually, in Pakistan, Afghanistan. He's going to places where the U.S. passport, we could not go. But with a Chinese communist passport, he has this free entree into these nations. And he's so smart about it because he's not – they want businesses. They want the Chinese business people to invest in their nation. So he's doing businesses as a front for church planting.
He's crazy like a fox for Jesus.
Exactly. And so that is exactly – so we see movements like that. Then we see overt movements like the Redeemed Church of God in Lagos, Nigeria. When they have planted, Eric, over 1,000 churches in the United States. And thank God, because revival's broken out in Nigeria. And we see there's one apostle – I won't mention his name again, but Redeemed Church of God, though, when they gathered together for their annual conference – the first week in December, we're talking about 5 million believers gathered together under one roof. They build a facility that is 12 stadium distance long, you know.
Are you
all
kidding?
Under, no, with synchronized sound and video. Amazing. This is in Lagos, Nigeria. So we don't know about these things, but we're seeing all these apostolic networks. And he calls himself an apostle, so there are modern day apostles. And I want to just admit, you know, to think in America, according to George Barnard, there's only 1% of the church in America are vocational full time pastors. To think that Jesus only gave the 1% some to be apostles, prophets, etc. No, he gave it to the whole body of Christ. So there are people who are listening to this program may be called to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And it's our job to equip them. And that's why I wrote this book, to help them identify if they are called to be an apostle, because it will help them fulfill their destiny.
I am so thrilled. We're out of time, but I'm so thrilled to introduce my audience to you, Che Ahn. I hope folks will go to cheahn.org, C-H-E-A-H. H-N.org, cheahn.org. The book is Modern Day Apostles. We have to get you back here as soon as possible. Che, thank you.
Well, thank you. What an honor to be here.